Welcome back, everybody. We're diving deep today into a case that really shook things up in sports and business law.
Yeah, definitely.
It's American Needle, Inc. v. NFL, a Supreme Court case back in 2010. It basically changed how we think about joint ventures and antitrust laws. We got some interesting articles and legal opinions to dig into.
Awesome.
Should be a fun one.
Sounds good.
So this case brings up a really tricky question. When does teamwork, you know, even in a super competitive field like pro sports, cross the line and become an illegal conspiracy?
Yeah, that's the core of it, right?
On one side, we have American Needle, the company that made those classic NFL-branded hats.
Right.
And on the other side is the NFL itself, 32 separate teams, but all under this giant umbrella organization.
Exactly. It really makes you think about concerted action, a key concept in antitrust law. Like, imagine if you and your friends all decided to charge the same price for lemonade at your lemonade stands. That's collusion, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But what if 32 lemonade stands all joined forces, created like a lemonade properties company, and then as a group decided to only sell lemons to one vendor? Is that still a conspiracy?
I see where you're going with this.
That's essentially what the court had to figure out in American Needle.
Okay, so let's rewind a bit.
Sure.
Can you set the scene for us? What events led up to this legal battle?
Well, for a long time, the NFL teams had pooled all their intellectual property rights, the logos, trademarks, the whole shebang under this organization called NFL Properties, or NFLP for short.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You kind of manage all those trademarks and licensing deals efficiently.
Right, exactly. And at first, they granted non-exclusive licenses to a bunch of different companies. American Needle was one of them, making merchandise.
Okay.
But then, in 2000, the NFL decided to change things up. They signed this huge exclusive 10-year deal with Reebok.
Whoa, so no more competition for all that lucrative NFL gear. I bet American Needle wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah, you could say that. They felt like they got totally shut out and argued the NFL was acting like a monopoly by eliminating competition in the market for officially licensed merch.
Wow.
And that's what kicked off this whole legal showdown.
So what happened next? Which way did the court swing?
So here's where things get kind of interesting. The lower courts actually sided with the NFL. They said the NFL, because it's a single entity, couldn't conspire with itself, you know, under Section 1 of the Sherman Act.
Hold on a second. So just because all the teams are part of this larger structure, they couldn't be seen as conspiring with each other?
Exactly. The lower courts kind of got hung up on the NFL's organizational structure. They focused on the form of it being a single entity and didn't really look at the economic reality of how the teams actually operate.
I see. So they missed the forest for the trees.
You got it. They missed the fact that even though the teams work together on the field, each team has its own financial interests, especially when it comes to merchandising. They're all competing for those licensing dollars.
Ah, so even though they're a team, they're also rivals when it comes to making money off the field.
Exactly. Think of it this way. The Saints and the Colts might be battling it out on the field, but to a company like American Needle, they're both suppliers of valuable trademarks.
So for a hat maker, like a Saints touchdown could actually mean less money for the Colts when it comes to merchandise.
You got it. And the lower courts just completely missed that crucial point. They saw the NFL as this one big happy family, but the Supreme Court, thankfully, thought, let's take a closer look at this.
All right, so what did the Supreme Court have to say about all of this? Did they agree with those lower court decisions?
Not a chance. They completely overturned the lower court rulings in a unanimous decision, no less. Justice Stevens, who wrote the opinion for the court, made it crystal clear just because the teams cooperate on the field doesn't mean they get a free pass when it comes to antitrust laws and their business dealings.
So they were basically telling the NFL, hey, you can't just hide behind this single entity argument and stifle competition, right?
Precisely. And that's where this idea of the rule of reason comes into play. The rule of reason basically says these agreements, they aren't automatically illegal, but the NFL or any business doing a similar joint venture would have to prove that what they're doing actually helps competition overall instead of hurting it.
So it's not enough to just say, hey, we're a single entity so we can do whatever we want. They'd have to actually show that this exclusive deal with Reebok, you know, actually benefits the market as a whole.
Exactly. The court wanted to see some real proof that this arrangement promotes competition, not just helps the teams make more money. They were making it clear, we're going to look past the structure and see what's really happening, the real economic impact.
Okay, that makes sense. So what does this ruling mean for other sports leagues or for businesses thinking about forming joint ventures? What are the big takeaways here?
Well, for sports leagues, the message is pretty clear. You can't just assume you're exempt from antitrust laws when you're talking about making money. Those big collective marketing and IP deals, especially the exclusive ones, those are going to be scrutinized.
Sounds like a wake-up call for the sports world. What about for those of us who aren't, you know, negotiating million-dollar licensing deals? Does this case have any relevance to other industries?
Absolutely. American Needle is a cautionary tale for any businesses thinking about teaming up, whether it's a joint venture or a strategic alliance or any type of partnership, really. It shows how important it is to understand when collaboration goes too far and becomes, you know, an unlawful restraint of trade.
So you can't just form a joint venture and then use that as an excuse to do whatever you want. You still have to play by the rules.
Right. Substance over form. That's the key takeaway here. Antitrust law cares about what an agreement actually does to competition, not just what you call it.
That's an important point. The court is basically saying, we're going to look beyond the paperwork and see what's really happening out there in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if all the stores in a shopping mall decided to fix their prices together. They couldn't just create some mall properties LLC and say, oh, we're a single entity now, so it's fine.
That's a great analogy. So even though NFL teams need to cooperate to play games, that doesn't mean they can collude when it comes to their business dealings. It's about protecting competition in the marketplace.
That's the heart of it. The Supreme Court understood how important independent decision-making is. They didn't want the NFL or any big entity using their combined power to stifle competition because that could really hurt consumers in the end.
It's interesting, though, because there are obviously valid reasons for businesses to collaborate. How do we figure out where that line is? How much collaboration is too much?
That's the big question, isn't it? American Needle gave us a way to analyze these situations, but applying that framework in real life, it can be tricky. It's not always so black and white.
So the court drew a line, but figuring out exactly where that line is in different industries and different situations, it's tough.
And that's what makes this case so important, so relevant even today. It's not just about sports leagues and hat makers. It's about the core principles of antitrust law and how we ensure a level playing field for everybody.
It reminds us that antitrust law isn't static. It's constantly changing, always evolving to address new challenges and new business models. American Needle was a big step in that evolution.
Yeah, for sure. It's a powerful reminder that even in industries where cooperation is essential, we can't forget about the importance of competition. Finding that balance is crucial, and American Needle gives us some really valuable guidance on how to navigate that complex terrain.
All right, so as we wrap up our deep dive into American Needle v. NFL, what are the big takeaways for our listeners? This case, it seems like it has implications way beyond just the world of sports.
Definitely, yeah. American Needle is this landmark decision, reminding us that antitrust law, it's all about a fair and competitive marketplace, even in those industries where, you know, you kind of have to cooperate.
We talked about the rule of reason, but can you give us some real-world examples? Like, how could a company actually prove that something they're doing is actually good for competition?
Sure, yeah, let's stick with sports for a second. So the NFL, they might say, hey, this exclusive Reebok deal, it actually helps consumers. Like, it makes things more efficient, you know? Saves money.
Wow.
They could argue that having one company handle all the licensing, well, it creates economies of scale, right? And that could lead to lower prices for the fans.
So they'd have to show that those benefits of the exclusive deal, they're bigger than any potential harm to competition.
Right, exactly. They need to convince the court that this whole arrangement, it actually leads to a better outcome for consumers, even if it means fewer companies making NFL hats.
That makes sense. So it's not just about saying, trust us, this is good for competition. They got to have the proof.
Exactly. And this applies to other industries, too. Let's say you're in tech, right? And you're thinking about maybe a joint venture with a competitor to develop some new technology. Well, you'd have to look at the market really closely. Analyze the potential impact. Will this collaboration stifle innovation from other companies? Or will it actually lead to a breakthrough that everyone benefits from?
So even when there might be some benefits to working together, businesses, they really need to be careful, make sure they're not breaking those antitrust laws.
Exactly. American Needle, it's a powerful reminder that even collaborations that seem totally fine, well, they can have unintended consequences.
It's kind of this legal balancing act, right? We want to encourage innovation and working together, but we also got to protect competition and make sure that consumers aren't getting hurt.
That's a great way to put it. American Needle gives us this framework, you know, for navigating that balance. And it reminds us that antitrust law, it's dynamic, it's always evolving, trying to keep up with all those changes in the business world.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. I feel like I really get it now. The complexities of antitrust law, the impact of this landmark case.
Yeah, it's been great chatting about it with you. The American Needle case shows us that the law is always changing. And it's so important for businesses to, you know, stay in the loop and adjust their strategies.
So to all our listeners out there, whether you're a CEO or just starting out in business, remember those lessons from American Needle. Question your assumptions. Think about the real economics of collaboration, and always be mindful of how your actions, they might impact competition. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.